إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
يا حبيبي يا رسولي، يا حبيبي يا رسولي، حلمي وغلس for a while how we have come to be here. يا حبيبي يا رسولي، يا حبيبي يا رسولي، حبيبي رسولي. Who is there to lead us weak in faith and feeble? We are all enamored in worldly desire, ever more in number, in discord and slumber, abandoned what to do. Who are we? Hear me a while, glimpse for a while how we have come to be here. Ya Habibi, Ya Rasooli, Ya Habibi, Ya Rasooli, Habibi, Rasooli.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: يوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه، لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters, my respected youth, respected youngsters, just want to say that I have no intention, I have not come with the intention of sitting here and lecturing you on how to live your life. But my intention today is to come into the studio and let you know the importance of your life, the importance of your youth, the importance of the phase which you're going through at the moment. You're in your teens or you're in your early 20s. And this is the prime time of your life, prime time of your life, and one of the most important times of your life, And my coming to the studio today is to tell you and advise you, inshallah, how to make this time of yours, these moments of yours, these hours of yours, these days of yours, these weeks of yours, these months of yours, and these years of yours, the best time, the best weeks, the best months, the best years of your life ever, insha'Allah ta'ala. And I pray to Allah ta'ala that Allah gives me the tawfiq and ability to say the right things, to say the good things, and not to say anything bad or anything horrible to offend anybody. But I pray to Allah that Allah will give me the tawfiq and ability to say the right things, insha'Allah ta'ala. My respected brothers and my respected sisters, not just for brothers, it's for my respected sisters, my young sisters out there. A day is going to come which is called the day of Qiyamah, when the whole of mankind, from the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam until the very last person who comes into this earth, will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This day is called Yawm al-Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, Yawm al-Qiyamah, day of Hisab, Kitab, day of accounts, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single human being, man, woman, young, old, poor, rich, everybody shall stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wondering today, what's going to happen to me today? Thinking, what's going to happen to me today? Am I going to go into Jannah? Am I going to go into Jahannam? Is Allah going to be happy with me? Is Allah going to be upset with me? Which way am I going to go? Am I going to go to the right? Am I going to go to the left? This is the day when man will be sweating, when woman will be sweating, everybody is stark naked. Hazrat Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, if people are naked, won't they look at each other? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Oh Aisha, people will be so concerned about themselves that they won't even bother looking at each other. Respected brothers and sisters, on this day, the sun will be so close to people. The sun will be so close. Today the sun is millions and millions of miles away. And on a hot summer's day when it's too hot, we start complaining, it's so hot, when the sun is millions and millions of miles away. My respected brothers and sisters, that day the sun will be so close to a human being. 1 mile, approximately 1 mile close to the human being. And some people sweating to the ankles, some sweating to the knees, some sweating to the belly button, some to the hips, some to the chest, some drowning in the sweat. But on this day when and Allah's anger will be so much, when Allah will be so furious, when Allah will be so furious, when people will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, when Anbiya alayhi salam will be saying, Nafsi, Nafsi, hey Allah, what's going to happen to me today? What's going to happen to me today? What's going to happen to me today? There'll be seven types of people, seven kinds of people who shall be under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shade of Allah's throne on that day. And one of those respected brothers and sisters, my respected young friends, are those youngsters. Are those young boys, are those young lads, are those young girls who spent their youth in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, who pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could have done all sorts of things. They could have done all the wrong things. They could have done all the most despicable things. They could have done all the bad things. But no, they saved themselves. They saved themselves. They saved themselves from the temptations of shaitan and nafs. They held themselves back and they said, no, no, we're going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, no, I ain't going to go to the cinema. No, no, I ain't going to do zina. No, no, I ain't going to backbite. No, no, I ain't going to do the wrong things, the bad things. They stopped themselves. Then my respected brothers and sisters, those youngsters will be under the throne of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very fortunate will be those youngsters on that day. When other people shall be sweating, but those youngsters will be under the throne of Allah, the shade of Allah's throne on the day of Qiyamah. My respected brothers and sisters, that's how important you are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think just because you're young and there's elderly people around that you've got no value in society and you've got no value around today. No, you're very, very special. You are extremely special, but you haven't. The problem is, my respected youngsters, my respected brothers and sisters, you haven't realized how important you are, and you haven't realized how valuable you are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's time you open your eyes. It's time you looked around and thought to yourself, who are you? Where have you come from? Why have you come in this world for? Have you come in this world just to doss? Have you come in this world just to mess about? Have you come in this world to just do what you want to do? Live a life according to your desire, according to your pleasures, according to your time? No, 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 no. Allah says in the Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ Do you think we've made you a waste? Do you think we made you a complete waste of time? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ And do you think you won't return towards us again? Allah is saying, no, no, no. Then furthermore, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran in another place, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ كَأَوْ إِنسَانٍ أَوْ human, أَمْ أَوْ jinn, I have created you so that you can worship me. I have created you so that you can worship me. You can recognize me. You can see who your creator is. Who you can see who your Allah is. You can see who your sustainer is. You can see who your Malik is. You can see who your Razik is. You can see who Allah is. Yes, you can see who Allah is. That's why Allah has created me and you in this world, brothers and sisters. My young friends, we haven't come here to smoke drugs. We haven't come here to drink alcohol. We haven't come here to do zina. We haven't come here to stand on street corners. We haven't come here to come in this world to scratch cars, to puncture people's tires, to give people taklifs, to give people hardships. We haven't come in this world to dress so that men can look at us, to dress in such a disgusting way that men are, you know, look, their eyes are glued to us. We haven't come in this world to plaster ourselves with makeup. We have come in this world for a very, very special purpose. And that special purpose is, my respected brothers and sisters, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we've come into this world. And people before us, youngsters before us, the young men, the young girls have shown us. They've shown us a way. Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a youngster of Makkatul Mukarramah. Very rich. Top class. You know, you get some youngsters today who come from a very, very rich family, who drive the most top class cars, who dress with the top class clothing, who have the most beautiful fragrance and perfumes on. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very rich youngster of Makkatul Mukarramah. Whichever street he used to walk through, whichever gully he used to go through, people used to know Mus'ab has been here. Mus'ab has been walked through here because they would smell the beautiful fragrance. He used to wear the most beautiful and expensive itr and perfume of the time. His dad was extremely rich, extremely wealthy. Allahu Akbar. This youngster, he bought iman in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That youngster who had everything going for him. That youngster had the full works. Everything going for him. Nobody could beat him. That's how fortunate he was. But then he came across Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Islam. He accepted. He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when his parents found out, he was kicked out of the house with hardly anything. Thrown out the house without anything on him. His mother gave him a sheet, a chadar, said, This is to cover yourself. This is for you to cover yourself. Then a time came when Nabi Sassam sent him to Madinah to Munawwara to preach to the people and let them know about Islam, about the beauty of Islam. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu goes to Madinah to Munawwara, preaches. After 1 year, Rasulullah has come to Makkah to Madinah and he sees many people have entered Islam. Yeah, a couple of years go by, the Battle of Uhud comes. Allahu Akbar. The Battle of Uhud comes. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu, the one youngster at the time who used to wear the most beautiful fragrance, the man who used to cover himself with the most beautiful garments, today, in the Battle of Uhud, he is martyred. Allahu Akbar. He is martyred. He is shaheed. And what is the state? Allahu Akbar. That there isn't enough material or cloth to even cover his body. This youngster had everything going for him, the full works. He left it. Why did he leave it for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why did he leave it for to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My respected brothers and elders and my respected sisters, a day comes when he's passed away, he's shaheed, but he doesn't have even enough material to cover his body. If you cover his face, his feet are uncovered. If you cover his feet, his face is uncovered. Allahu Akbar. This is the condition of the youngsters of that time. They had everything. It's not just today that people have the most wonderful cars and they drive in the big cars. But now at the time, the Sahabas they were very rich. Some of them were extremely rich and wealthy. But they left all of that. When they understood that Islam was the most important thing, and Allah was the most important thing, and the Rasul was the most important thing, then they made a decision that no longer can I go after the world, no longer can I race after the world, no longer can I chase after the world. I have to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, my respected brothers and sisters, today you have to do the same thing as well. Realize who you are. Value yourself. You're not some kind of rubbish on the street who can just do any old thing today. Look at our reputation in this world today, Muslims. Look at the youngsters of today. You know, which way are we heading? It's so shameful to say, my respected brothers. It's so shameful to say, so many Muslim youngsters into drugs today. So many Muslim youngsters into drugs today. Okay. So many of our Muslim brothers, you won't believe it. Who come to the masjid, who pray namaz, who some who even sit in i'tikaf, but they've got a habit of drinking alcohol. Muslim youngsters gathering together in bars, in restaurants, in different places, and drinking alcohol. Allahu Akbar. And he says in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that sharabi, that person who drinks alcohol, their dua is not accepted, even in the month of Ramadan. Even in the month of Ramadan, the dua is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of our youngsters, you know, at a time was there when you couldn't imagine our youngsters drinking alcohol. It was so unheard of. But today, the young boys and the young girls, this is what saddens you most. It hurts from the bottom of the heart when you hear, okay, your own Muslim brother and your own Muslim sister, we don't have to be related. You don't have to be my cousin brother or cousin sister. But at the end of the day, you could be a Memon, you could be a Surti, you could be a Baruchi, you could be a Chinese, you could be a Malaysian, you could be whatever. But at the end of the day, you're a Muslim. And when a Muslim sins, it hurts. When a Muslim does guna, it hurts. And today a Muslim are puffing away drugs on the streets openly. Openly. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. You know, you can't imagine. You could have never imagined this before. But openly our Muslim youngsters are taking drugs. Openly our Muslim young girls are taking drugs. Openly they're drinking alcohol. Openly drinking alcohol. In bars and clubs, drinking alcohol. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Which way are we heading, my respected youngsters? You know, who are we? You know, who are we? Think to yourself, who are you? Are you just a normal guy on the street who can do whatever you want? Or are you the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is where you're going to decide. This is where you're going to make your mind up. Who are you? And what have you come in this world for? And what are you doing? You're doing at this moment in time, what's happening is, unfortunately, not all. A lot of our youngsters are heading towards the wrong way. Going to the temptations of this dunya, going into drugs, going into crack, going into cocaine, going into cannabis, going into all sorts of things. Enjoying, puffing, feeling on a real high, feeling really good, feeling really special. Eyes are all gone red. And when the effect of the drugs wear off, they only want more. Then they go into stealing money. Then they want to borrow £20 from this person. Then they want to borrow £20 from that person because they're addicted to drugs. They can't help themselves. They want alcohol. They've got tension from home. They've got problems at home. They drink alcohol, 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 thinking that alcohol is going to make things better. Alcohol just makes things worse, respected brothers and sisters. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help us at all. And then worse than that, drugs on one side, alcohol on the other side. Then you got the girls. Boys are going out with girls, the girls are going out with boys. Boyfriend and girlfriend has become so common. You know, Allah just save us, honest. You know, brothers and sisters, we are so lucky that right now, this moment, Allah Ta'ala hasn't, you know, changed us. Allah's azab hasn't come upon us. Allah hasn't punished us by now. The amount of zina going on, the amount of boyfriends going on, the amount of girlfriends going on, the amount of zina going on in schools is beyond our imagination. The amount of zina going on in colleges, the amount of zina going in universities, it is sometimes you'd rather not know. When sometimes people come and tell me, Monisab, have you heard of so-and-so? I say, you know what, I'd rather not know about it. Because you know what, it hurts from the bottom of the heart. It really hurts. This is my Muslim brother committing zina. My Muslim sister committing zina. They're both committing zina. Don't you feel who they are? Committing fornication, committing adultery. Is this a Muslim sham? Can a Muslim really do such a thing? You know, somebody was telling me the other day that in universities now, this is the first time I've heard of this. I just heard of this a couple of days ago. A brother and a very authentic source told me. He said to me, some of the university students who come from far and wide, when they come to uni, they take fancy to a boy, they take fancy to the girl. So what they do, they get temporarily nikah done. Okay. Temporarily nikah done privately so they can enjoy themselves for those 3-4 years in university. And when... And what happens, when it's time to go, then the nikah's finished, okay, you go your way, I go my way, then she gets married to somebody else and he gets married to somebody else, subhanallah. You know, what is this? It's become a joke. You know, my respected brothers, you know, zina become a joke. My respected sisters, you know, Allah forgive us, you know, but sex, just open sex has become, you know, like Muslim girls selling their bodies so easily, you know, giving themselves away to boys, just, you know, it's... You know, mind-boggling. How can a Muslim girl just, you know, like, give herself away to somebody so cheaply? Islam's given us a way, a method of nikah, proper marriage, proper nikah. Not just, you know, cheaply here. So one day going out with this boy, second day going out this month with this boy, a third, 1 year later going out with some other guy, fourth guy. You know, each person has not got one girlfriend, one boyfriend's girlfriends, boyfriend's girlfriend. Buy one, get one free, pass the parcel around. That's what it is at the moment. One going to another. It's disgusting. A friend of mine told me, and a very reliable source told me, the Monsab, the amount of abortions Muslim girls are having, it is beyond imagination. Allah forgive us. Muslim girls going to clinics. I'm not talking about college girls. I am not talking about university girls. I'm talking about school girls who are 15, 16, going into clinics and getting the abortion done. But parents don't know. Parents do not know what's going on. Honestly, parents are so blind, it's beyond the imagination. Or parents are so, they have so much trust in their children, thinking my son or daughter can't do anything like this at all. And our Muslim sisters are going there for abortion. Our Muslim girls going to normal schools are going for abortion. If this is the condition in schools, what is going on in colleges? What is going on in universities? Allah, Allah, do hifazat on this. I was saying, We are lucky that Allah's punishment hasn't come down. We are lucky Allah hasn't changed us into pigs and monkeys already. Because the people of Bani Israel, Allah stopped them from fishing on a Saturday. They broke that rule, Allah changed them into monkeys. The whole lot of them Allah changed into monkeys. We have gone far, far beyond that. And I'll tell you what's saving us from the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. And my respected youngsters out there, and my respected sisters, I really want you to listen carefully to this point. And I'll tell you what's saving us from the punishment of Allah. It's the dua of our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's the dua of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he made to Allah, that Allah said, "Oh no, Muhammad, don't worry, I'll look after your ummah. I'll take care after your ummah. I will look after your ummah." This is the dua when Nabi Sallam passed, before he passed away. The angel of death came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Jibreel Islam came down and he goes, "Ya Rasulullah, Malakul Maut, the angel of death is waiting outside. And it's time for you to go to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah has asked you that you do you want to come to Allah?" And the angel of death is waiting outside. He won't come inside your house until you give him permission. Nabi Sallam said to Jibreel, "What shall I do?" Jibreel said, "Oh Rasulullah, Allah wants to see you. Allah desires to see you." So Nabi Sallam said, "Oh Jibreel, go to Allah and ask Allah what he shall do to my ummah after I pass away." So when Nabi Sallam was passing away, he was thinking about me and you. Nabi Sallam gave this message to Jibreel. Jibreel Sallam went to Allah and then came back and said, Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, "Oh Muhammad, don't worry, we'll look after your ummah." One Ali was saying in his Dubayan that this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has saved the ummah from so many punishments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for this dua, we would have all perished by now. We would have been all finished by now. Brothers and sisters, we know the gunas we do, so many gunas we do. We do zina of the eyes, we do zina of the heart, we do zina of the mind, you know, thinking, all sorts of gunas. My respected brothers and sisters, so many gunas we do. But this Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the one who's saving us from, his dua is saving us from, you know, Allah could have done all sorts of things to us by now. Brothers and sisters, when are we going to wake up? This Nabi of ours, I want you to understand this carefully, brothers and sisters. This Nabi wasn't just a Nabi for Saudi Arabia. This Nabi wasn't just for the Arabs. This Nabi is for the Rahmatul Alameen. He's a mercy for all the worlds. He's a mercy for all as well. And because of his mercy, today we are still coming strong and well and strong. Brothers and sisters, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once Jibreel Islam came down and said, "Ya Rasulullah," and he mentioned, it's a long hadith, cutting it very short, he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that your ummah will burn in Jahannam. Some of your ummahs will burn in Jahannam. 2 to 3 days Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't eat. 2 to 3 days Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't drink. 2 to 3 days Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't talk to anybody. Why? Because he couldn't bear the fact that my ummah is going to burn in the fire of Jahannam. My ummati, the Sassam said, my ummati is going to burn in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Akbar. And for 3 days, Nabi Sassam didn't eat and drink. For 2 or 3 days, Nabi Sassam didn't talk to anybody. He was so concerned about the ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was so concerned about his ummah. And today, brothers and sisters, what are we doing? What are we doing as youngsters? What are we doing as young girls? Girls going out in the streets, subhanAllah, the way they dress. You know, body parts showing, body parts bulging out. You know, you can see the whole chest, more or less the whole chest. You can see the legs, clothing so tight, makeup plastered, eyebrows done up, scarf dead tight, clothing so tight, parts of body exposed so clear. You can see all the way running the scarf. This is the sickening thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't wear the scarf. By all means, for Allah's sake, wear the scarf. But you know, you've got a scarf on your head, my sister. Wear some decent clothing, wear some loose clothing, wear some reasonable clothing. And I can't understand the parents who let their daughters walk out the house and the clothing is so, so tight. The clothing is so, so tight. You can see the whole body, all parts of the body, different parts of the body. And respected brothers and sisters, it is shocking. One brother came to me at the masjid, I'm talking about yesterday, came to me, he goes, "Monsab, it's very, very difficult." He goes, I said, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Monsab, when I go to town, you see our Muslim sisters," he goes, the dressing is unbelievable. He goes, "We try to look down. We try to turn away from them. We try not to look at our sisters. But what can you do? They dress in such a way that it attracts a man's attention. It attracts a man's attention. The way she's dressed." And brothers and sisters, it is shocking. You would sometimes, when you look at a girl, if you were to see a girl and you think, she couldn't be a Muslim girl. But then you find that she's a Muslim girl. The way she's dressed is not Islamic at all. And who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to impress? Today, the young girls are trying to be like the models. You know, they see these models, actresses, film stars, models on television, and they think, you know, you got to understand, my sisters, they've been airbrushed. They have all this makeup on. They've been, you know, plastered, done up so nicely. So when you see them on the magazines, when you see them on the Hello magazines, or the OK magazines, or this magazine, and that magazine, and on the TV, and on the internet, you think, oh, they're so beautiful and gorgeous. I want to be the same as well. My sisters, they've been plastered. Your natural beauty, keep your own natural beauty. Be who you are. Don't be like anybody else. Don't be like them. Be like Hazrat Fatima. Be like Hazrat Khadija. Be like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Why don't you take the example of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha? Allahu Akbar. The daughter, not just a normal daughter, but the beloved daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She, Nabi sallam goes to a house one day with a sahabi called Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He knocks on the door. And he goes, oh Fatima, I've come to visit you, but I have a sahabi with me. Can I come inside? And can my sahabi come inside? This is the wife of Hazrat Ali. This is the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most beloved daughter of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallam, she said, "Oh Rasulullah sallam, I don't have enough material or cloth to cover myself from your sahabi. Who is this? This is the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what doesn't she have? She doesn't even have a piece of cloth to cover herself, to do hijab from the sahabi. Allahu Akbar." What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Rasul takes it off his one of his chadars, and he gives it to his daughter. He goes, oh Fatima, cover yourself with this. He walks inside the house. Now Hazrat Fatima, like I said, was very close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, very close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walked in, he said, oh Fatima, what's wrong? So Fatima said, ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, hunger. I've not eaten for so many days, she said. And she goes, oh Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, an illness. And then she broke down into tears. And because she was the most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi put to her, gave her a hug, and he said, oh Fatima, my beloved daughter, you don't cry, because your father hasn't had anything for 3 days as well. Your father, meaning Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hasn't had anything for 3 days. And Hazrat Fatima started crying. This scene was seen by Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel sallam down. And he said, oh Jibreel, go to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell him, that tell Fatima that she is the leader of all the women in Jannah. Qurbani was made. Sacrifice was made by the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at our daughters today. Look at our sister today. So much clothing in the wardrobes. So many dresses in the wardrobes. And they're still complaining that we haven't got enough. One dress for this Eid. One dress for this wedding. One dress for this wedding. Allahu Akbar. Even in the weddings, Allah Ta'ala, Allah is beyond I imagine. Such a nasi in our weddings as well. Each woman like a model. Dressed like a model. You know, going openly. Perfume. Going, smelling from a mile away. And Allah, you know, my respected, I don't know where to start, I don't know where to stop, I don't know where to begin, I don't know where to finish. It's such a sad situation. You know, how far have we turned from Islam? How far have we turned from the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How far have we turned away from the wives of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How far have we gone from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen? How far have we turned from the Sahabiyat? We've gone in a complete own league. We've gone a complete own way, my mothers and sisters. Which way are we going? This Rasul cried for us. Thinking that this ummah is going to go into Jahannam. And you know what's happening? And our sisters, you know, today you see some of the sisters, like I said earlier, scarves on the head, mashallah, which is excellent, but clothing, disgusting. You know, and you know, this is the problem. I mean, respected sisters, do you think by dressing in a degrading manner, by dressing really tight clothing, by dressing in, you know, almost semi-naked, or almost, you know, like skin-tight clothing, do you think you're going to get respect? Do you think by showing parts of your body, certain parts of your body, you're going to get respect? You think by showing your chest, you're going to get respect? No, you're not going to. They're going to laugh at you. Boys are waiting for this opportunity all the time. If some Muslim girl or any girl walks by, you know, showing parts of her body, they're going to say, whoa, she's looking nice. Oh, she's gorgeous. Yes, then they'll date her. And the Muslim sister is so dying the head. And she's lost her mind so much that she said, oh, you love me, don't you? And she says, oh, I love you too so much as well. And then she goes, oh, well, let's go out. And then she goes out for a date. And he uses her after a few months and he dumps her. End of story. Game, set, and match. Game, set, and match, boy. Then the girl starts crying. Emotionally, she's broken down. Then she realizes she's been used. But you should have used your akal first. You should have used your brain first. You don't just go to any boy and then sell yourself so cheaply. And then you have to end up in an abortion clinic. Because you're too embarrassed to tell your parents of what's happened. My respected sisters, my respected brothers, think who you are. You know, the worst thing is this internet thing. And what does it help? So I was talking about drugs, I was talking about drinking, I was talking about boyfriend, I was talking about girlfriends, I was talking about zina generally going on so much. This short nikah's going on. And brothers and sisters, another point, it's already 20 to 12, I don't want to drag too much. Another point is, you know, today's youngsters, talking to their parents. You know, no respect for their parents. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah has said, you know, worship Him. And be good to your parents. Be good to your parents. Today's youngsters, the way they swear at their parents, Allahu Akbar, you hag, you know, you cow. Some people call their own mother a cow. Some people call their own mother a hag. And other names which I can't even mention on air. The boys being rude to their father. That father who looked after you. That father who cared for you. That mother who cared for you. That mother who slept. The mother who made so much qurbani for you. The mother who sacrificed the sleep. Who sacrificed the food. Just because you've become 16 today, you can swear to your mother. You can talk back to your mother. You can break your mother's heart. You can make a tears fall down her cheeks. And you think everything's fine. And you think Allah's going to be happy with you. My brother and my sister, just listen to one thing from me. What goes around, comes around. What goes around, comes around. What goes around, comes around. Today you hurt your mom's feeling. Today you made your mother cry. Today you made your father cry. A time will come tomorrow when you become a father. And when you become a mother, your kids will do the same thing to you. And then you realize how painful it is. You know, if you don't have money, and if you lose your wealth, and you lose your car, and you lose your house, that's not too bad. But when your own son and when your own daughter talk back to you, and when they call you all sorts of nasty stuff, nasty words, and they say, Mom and Dad, you don't know what's going on, you're old-fashioned, you're behind the times, we're the modern age, we know what's going on, we know what's right, we know what's good, you know, you're old-fashioned, Mom, you're old-fashioned, Dad, and doesn't that hurt a mother? Allahu Akbar. And that one tear that comes up from a mother's eye, and that tear that rolls down the cheek, and that baddua, and that curse that comes up in a mother's heart, mothers and brothers, my respected brothers and sisters, you will never, ever, ever be successful in your life. Remember this one thing. You could become a multi-billionaire in this world, but you will never get chain and sukun in your life. A person who runs their mother, a person who runs their father, for them the punishment in the hereafter is immense. Great punishment for them in the hereafter. Not in this, in the hereafter. Certain gunas are punished in this world, certain punished in the hereafter. To run your parents, to put them down, to hurt their feelings, Allah, brothers and sisters, will punish you in this world, and then Allah will also punish that person in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, my respected youth, you don't talk to your parents like that. You respect your parents. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't even say the word uff to them. Don't even give them, you know sometimes you say something to them, you say, you made a sound from your mouth. Don't even do that much to them. Don't give them dirty looks. Why me? Why me? Not them. Why is it this? No. When your parents say something, you do it. You respect your parents. You respect your mother. You respect your father. You respect your elders. This is the teaching of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lost his mother at a very young age. Our Rasul lost his mother at a very young age, at 6 years old. Nabi Sassam used to wish many a times that I wish my mother was still alive. And he mentions in the hadith, which I heard from an alim, he was saying that Rasulullah Sassam was saying that I wish my mother was alive. And when I'm leaving my house to perform my salah, and when I'm about to stand on the musalla, and when I stand on the musalla, and when I start my namaz, my mother opens the window. And my mother is looking at me, and I can say, and my mother says, oh Muhammad, Nabi Sallam says, I will break my namaz and say, Labbaik ya ummi. Oh mother, Labbaik, I'm here. Mother, I'm present. And today's youngsters, they make dua, I wish my mother goes, man. She's doing my head in. She's an old hag. All she does is shout, shout, shout. She doesn't let me do. And why, what our mothers are doing for us, they try to make sure that we have the best company. They stop us from going into nightclubs. They stop us going into discos. They stop us going to all sorts of places. I was speaking to a friend of mine recently, and he was, Moni Saab, you won't believe. One of the worst things in that is the shisha cafes. I'll be quite honest. These shisha cafes have been such a nuisance to our Muslim boys and girls. You know, you see Muslim girls, gangs of them, shisha cafe, puffing away, huffing away, smoking away, laughing away, giggling away, and having a laugh. And on the other table, there's all a bunch of boys there. boys and girls mixing in shisha cafes. Is, you know, what's the world come to? Don't the parents have any realization where the girls have gone that night? They probably say to the mom and dad, we're going to eat with our friends at a restaurant. They ain't gone to the restaurant. They've gone to, you know, shisha places, huffing and puffing away, boys on one table, girls on the other table, everybody having a nice time, enjoying themselves, so-called enjoyment, and the brothers and sisters, this is really, really sad times. This is very, very sad times. And worse than that, you get clubs in Leicester called gentlemen clubs, you know, men's club, and you got Muslim men going there to watch lap dancing. Yeah, you might think Monsubs is going a bit OTT, over the top, but brothers and sisters, honestly, I am not going out of this is authentic sources. Muslim guys, Muslim men going to clubs to watch ladies do, you know, do lap dancing, and it is just unbelievable. It's shameful for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we say, why doesn't Allah Ta'ala help us? Muslim youth going there, Muslim elders going there, Muslim men going there, watching lap dancing. You think, Allah, Allah, is this a Muslim? Can this really be a Muslim? Is this the shine of a Muslim, the follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, brothers and sisters, you know, when we stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah, what are we going to say to Allah? When we stand before our Rasul on the day of Qiyamah, what face are we going to? How are we going to show our face to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Have you ever thought about that? I'm asking every youngster out there today, I'm asking every young boy out there today, I'm asking every young girl out there today, have you thought of the fact that one day you're going to die? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And when you die, you go into your grave, and after that manzil, then the trumpet is blown, and then you have to stand on the day of Qiyamah. When our Rasul comes in front of us, with what face are you going to show us? With what face are you going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How are you going to show him? What are you going to say, Ya Rasulullah, when I was young, it was my time to mess about? No, it's going to be a disaster. And if our Rasul turns his face away from us, this is the worst bit, and this is the scary bit. If our Rasul says, suhkan, 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 go away, go away, I don't want to know you, I don't want to know you, brothers and sisters, you tell me who's going to save you on the day of Qiyamah. My respected brothers and sisters, who is going to save us on the day of Qiyamah? If our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turns his face away from us, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a catastrophe. It's going to be a massive, massive catastrophe. And it's going to be a huge, huge disaster if our Nabi turns away from us. And if our Nabi turns away from us, then Allah will turn away from us. And then we're going to end up in hellfire. My respected brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say, I don't want to make this too long, this bayan today. All I'm saying, for Allah's sake, change your lifestyle. For Allah's sake, do tawbah. The month of Ramadan is here. Dress properly, eat properly, drink properly, think who you are. You're the youngsters of the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't follow other people. Don't degrade yourself by dressing semi-naked. Don't degrade yourself, you know, by showing your parts of your body. Don't degrade yourself by showing your legs. Don't degrade yourself by showing your chest. But earn the respect by covering yourself. And then, my respected sister, Allah will give you whatever you want in Jannah. A bit of sacrifice in this world, 50, 60, 70 years of Qurbani, then my sister, Allah will give you everything in Jannah. You shall be the queen of the women in Jannah. You'll have the beauty of the amazing beauty in Jannah. You'll have the ni'mats of Jannah. You'll have the bounties of Jannah. You'll have everything in Jannah. The music which we listen today, you know, I'm sitting in my shop on office in Hartington, Rahma. And because there's a ramp right in front, most of the cars which I have to sort of stop for a few seconds before they can go past. And you see our Muslim boys. Sometimes I wonder where they come from, India, Pakistan, or England, or Jamaica. Because they've got this Rastafarian style of walking. It's like they've got bags on their shoulders. So one shoulder's going up and one shoulder's going down. And they walk. This is no offense to anybody who comes from Jamaica, Africa. I'm just talking about our Muslim youngsters over here. Their walk is unbelievable. And they walk like somebody that they're not Muslims. And they've got the music and they're bouncing in their car. You know, look, if you want to listen to music, if you listen to George Michael, if you listen to Spice Girls, you listen to whoever you want to listen to. But don't make the whole of Highfield listen to music as well at the same time. Or don't make the whole of Evington listen to music. And don't make the whole neighborhood listen to music. You know, you do what you want. And so they go around, they go past. And I'll give credit to some youngsters. Sometimes when they see Muslim men in the beard or dadi or mama, they actually turn down the music in respect. And respect to you for doing that, inshallah. For you, you're doing a great thing. But there's some youngsters, who, you know, they think... You know, they're the bad guys. You know, they think they're the gangsters. They think they're really cool. They got shades on when it's really dark and cloudy out there. Even normal when it's dark, they got shades on. Okay. And then they got a cigarette in their mouth. they've got a silver chain around their neck, and they say, you're right, bro. You know this bro thing today, bro? You know, people say, bro, you're right, bro. You know, today, bro is a good thing. You know, don't get me wrong, brothers, right? Bro is a nice thing. But, you know, some youngsters call chachas who are 60 years old, you're right, bro. I've actually seen it. For goodness sake, you call somebody bro who's your own age. I remember one student of mine in madrasa. He's left now. After a couple of years, he met me in madrasa. I was sitting there, and he comes up to me, and he says, you're right, bro. I said, yes, I'm fine, bro. Not too bad, bro. I was quite sure. That's it. I was his monitor a year ago, and he's calling me bro today. So this one of my sisters, you know, like silver chains, gold rings, you know, blasting, and the amount of gel they use in the hair. My goodness, you know, the gel people must be making top business with these youngsters. It is amazing. So they drive past in the car, you know, one hand on the steering wheel, and, you know, they think they're the dons of Leicester. And they drive up with music blasting, for Allah's sake, brothers. And not only brothers, it's the sisters as well. Even the sisters are bouncing up in their cars as well, going dung, 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 dung. Amazing. Amazing. And then you get some sisters who walk past, you know, they got these amazing shoes and they go tick-tock, tick-tock. So when they're walking past, mashallah, they can see, mashallah, there's somebody coming by, right? And then you see, and you know, as naturally as a human being, you look up to who's walking by and you see, mashallah, your Muslim sister, mashallah, who's dressed up in the most amazing way, mashallah. You know what I mean by mashallah? I mean, you're the opposite of mashallah. You know, sister, you know, like I said earlier, who are you trying to be? You know, who are you trying to imitate? Are you trying to imitate Hazrat Fatima, or how are you imitating the models of this world? Because Rasulullah SAW said in a hadith, "Man tashabbaha biqaumin fa minhum," whoever you imitate, you shall be with those people on the day of Qiyamah. If you imitate Hazrat Fatima, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Khadija, you shall be with those people on the day of Qiyamah. You imitate the other people? People who is disliked by Islam, people who do not follow Islam, then you shall be raised with those people on the Qiyamah. We have a choice, brothers and sisters. We have a choice. So my humble request to my respected brothers today, I want to finish off before midnight, inshallah ta'ala. My request to our respected brothers and sisters is, for Allah's sake, change your lifestyle. You know, do tawbah on the music, do tawbah on the lap dancing, do tawbah on the mobile phones. I've said this for years. People might call me narrow-minded. This model is narrow-minded. I tell you what, I am not narrow-minded. I have a mobile phone myself, but that's because I need one. Today's youngsters do not need mobile phones. Especially under 16, they do not need mobile phones. Parents have gone to Steve. These guys are texting each other, chat lines on the internet. Oh Allah, and you know, like emails, and what is going on? Honestly, what is going on? Parents don't have a clue is what's going on. This is the sad thing. Parents do not have a clue. They're texting each other. Once I was in Masjid Bukhari a few years ago, we had this Saturday night table tennis and programs for the youngsters at Masjid Bukhari, and this youngster, I just wanted to borrow his phone, so I asked him, can I borrow your phone? So he goes, Masjid, by all means. I know I shouldn't have done this, but I got tempted to just check his text messages. And I read his text message, and honestly, I could not believe what was written inside in the text message. And I said to him, by his name, you know, what are you doing? If this guy's not married, but the message he got from his girlfriend even made me melt. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. Even my legs felt all wobbly after that. So I said, what are you doing? He felt embarrassed. So I said, I tell you what, dial the number, I'm going to speak to this girl. She was a Muslim girl as well. So I phoned her up, and I said to her, sister, you're a Muslim girl, and you're not supposed to be doing this. And she goes, oh, Molly Saab, I'm really sorry. Molly Saab, I'm really sorry, I did miss it. Anyway, I let it be. After 15 minutes, I saw him on near the windows, and he was crying. And I said to him, what are you crying for? And they were both crying on the phone, the girl on the other side, and he was crying on this side. I said, for goodness sake, you don't have to cry. She goes, oh, Melissa found out, so I'm feeling so guilty. And they both started crying over the phone. I said, there's no need to cry, for goodness sake. I said, just do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Melissa finds out and we feel so guilty, don't we think we should worry about what Allah Ta'ala knows everything. Allah Ta'ala sees everything. So I would say, brothers and sisters, make a bit, change your lifestyle. You know, youngsters, you are so valuable. Okay, you might have done all of this what I've mentioned. You might have gone to clubs where there's lap dancing. You might have gone to casinos. You might have been drinking. You might have taken drugs. You might have done every bad thing which I've mentioned or which I've not mentioned. But at the end of the day, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. Brothers and my respected brothers and sisters, just think, you sacrifice your music in this world. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will seat you in Jannah, on a special seat in Jannah. Allah will call the women of Jannah, and they'll sing the most beautiful, beautiful song in Jannah. Then Allah will ask, oh my servants, have you heard anything like this before? They'll say, Ya Allah, you haven't heard anything like this before. Allah said, but now I'm going to make you listen to something even more better than this. Allah will say, oh Dawood, Qum Ya Dawood. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam will come. Dawood al-Islam had the most beautiful, beautiful voice. And then he'll make a recitation. And Allah will say, oh people, have you heard anything like this before? They'll say, Ya Allah, we have never heard anything like this before. Allah will say, okay, now listen to something even more better than Dawood. Allah will say, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qum, Nabi sallam will come. And he'll sit on the minbar. Can you imagine that moment? When we go Haram Sharif, we listen to Sheikh Sudais, we listen to Sheikh Shuraim, and we feel so wonderful. We feel so wonderful. Allah will say, oh Muhammad, our Prophet, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will stand up and he'll read Quran. That moment is going to be the most amazing, amazing moment. Allah granted all of us this moment. All my brothers out there, all my sisters out there, you know, Allah granted all of us this moment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will read, everybody will be swaying from right to left and left to right, enjoying the kalam of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then Allah will say, oh my young, oh people, have you heard anything like this before? They say, Ya Allah, never have you heard anything so beautiful. Allah will say, now, listen to something even more beautiful than that. Listen to me now. Can you imagine Allah reading His Quran? Allah, the one who's given the beautiful voices in this world to different people. And when we listen to them, we feel so wonderful. When Allah Himself will read, can you imagine that moment? Even Jannat will sway. Allahu Akbar. Forget people swaying, Jannat will sway. What a moment is going to be when Allah will read Himself. Allah again grant all of us that moment, my respected brothers and sisters. Then Allah will give us Jannat, Ni'mat, palaces, women, all sorts of things will Allah will give. My youngsters today is that, listen, when you see a beautiful woman, look, we're all human beings. This brain doesn't mean that we cannot do gunas. As human beings, we will do gunas. As insan, we will do gunas. Nobody's perfect of gunas. But what I'm saying, when you make a dua, when you commit a guna, straight away ask Allah Ta'ala for tawbah. Ask Allah Ta'ala for repentance. Shaitan will say to you, you know, youngster, you've done too many bad things. You've done all the bad things. You should be ashamed. No. No matter how many gunas you've done, my respected youngster, and my respected sister, no matter all the bad things you've done, but turn towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Make tawbah towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Repent to Him. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will forgive all of your sins. He'll wipe the slate clean completely. You'll be fresh. And amazingly, brothers and sisters, it says, on the day of Qiyamah, when a person will go into Jannah, Allah will give them the ni'mas of Jannah, the bounties of Jannah, the ni'mas of Jannah, the beautiful things about Jannah, everything. And I was saying to them, I was coming to this point that my youngsters, when you see a beautiful girl down the road, for example, and she's an absolute bombshell, and you think to yourself, of course, she's a real stunner, then focus yourself to the women of Jannah. Think, if Allah has made the women of this world so beautiful, then what is it going to be like in the hereafter? And try to lower your gaze. Don't just think, it says in Hadith, one gaze is permissible, so you think, I'll have one good, nice, long look, MashaAllah, from top to toe, you have a good look, and think, SubhanAllah, what a creation of Allah, Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. No, that, some people do that, and that's taking the mick, honestly. That is taking the mick. Some people say, one nazar is maaf, and after that second time, you won't look. No, it doesn't work like that. If you see her, you lower your gaze straight away. If this woman of this world is so beautiful, then brothers and sisters, then especially brothers, should I say, think of what's going to be like in Jannah. And then Allah will give us everything of Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala, all the bounties of Jannah. Allah will say, you know what, folks? Well, these are my words. Allah's not going to say, you know what, folks? But before somebody sends me a text message and says, well, you said, Allah said, folks. But Allah will say, are you happy? They say, Ya Allah, be more than happy. Allah will say, ask. They say, Allah, we don't know what to ask. Allah said, ask, ask. You haven't asked me anything yet. Then Allah will give. They'll ask and Allah will give. They'll ask, Allah will give. They'll ask, Allah will give. They'll say, Allah, tired. We don't know what to ask. Allah says, there's one more thing you haven't got yet. One more thing you haven't got yet. They say, what's that, Allah? Then Allah will show Himself. Okay. Brothers and sisters, that moment, if you want to see Allah, then you have to keep these eyes back of ours. We have to keep these eyes, you know, looking on the internet, on these dodgy sites, looking at these dodgy magazines, looking at porn, looking at all these dirty things, disgusting things, these eyes have become unclean then. And then these eyes are not able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there are the temptations. Yes, we do get tempted. Yes, these pop-ups come up and they always keep on popping up all the time. I know they're quite disgusting as well sometimes. But we have to lower our gaze. And we have to try our best. Day by day temptations increase. Day by day the fitnas increase. Day by day it gets difficult to hold on to our iman. I know it's very, very difficult. I myself, I admit it's very, very difficult. But we've got to keep on trying. We can't just lose heart and say, well, times have changed and today the young generation has changed and we can just, you know, no, no, brothers and sisters. Then we make this qurbani, and then when Allah will show Himself, brothers and sisters, when Allah will show Himself, that is the moment. That is the moment. People will look at Allah for thousands of years, just staring at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the door of Jannah, a person will look at just for 40 years, the door of Jannah. And one hug in Jannah with the wife of Jannah is going to be for so many years, one hug. Then looking at Allah who is greater than all of these ni'mats, thousands of years will go by. And there'll be a person will be just standing there and looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It'll be so beautiful. It is going to be a wonderful, wonderful moment. A wonderful, wonderful moment. My respected brothers and sisters, this Jannah, brothers and sisters, Allah has made for you and Allah has made for me. Allah doesn't get no pleasure in putting you youngsters into Jahannam or us people into Jahannam. Allah wants to put the Ummah and the Nabi into Jannah and Paradise. But for these brothers and sisters, my young friends, my humble request, I'm coming to the end of my talk. I have written lots more, but I haven't really got time for all of this. Is all I can say to my brothers and sisters out there, please, please change your lifestyle. Please, please, for Allah's sake, change your lifestyle. Become the Muhammad bin Qasim. Become the Tariq bin Ziyad. Become the Mus'ab bin Umair. Become the real, real youngsters of Islam. Be an example to the people. You know, people criticize us Muslims today as youngsters. Okay, look at your Muslim youth today. They're a disgrace. Look at the soldiers of Islam. This is one group called soldiers of Islam. I don't know who they are. But if any of them are listening, my request to you is, my brother, you are also my brothers. You are also my brothers. And you are also my friends. I'm saying to you, for Allah's sake, change your lifestyle, honestly. Become proper soldiers of Allah, not by advertising and having t-shirts and badges and stickers, by praying in namaz, by going, showing good character, by being good to Muslims, by being good to non-Muslims, by being good neighbors, by being good people, by being good Muslims. This is the way to show that we are soldiers of Islam. Not by having t-shirts and walking like gangsters in the street and saying, yeah, we're the soldiers of Islam. My brothers, it doesn't work like that, honestly. It doesn't work like that. Your brothers and sisters, time is really short. Today you're young, tomorrow you'll be old. Oh, today you're young, the time of death is very uncertain. Today you might be living, tomorrow you'll be inside your grave. So what I'm saying to you, my respected brothers and sisters, is tonight before you go to bed, this is my humble request to you, is switch off the bedroom light before you go to bed, which you're obviously going to do, and do muraqabah. Sit in meditation for 5 minutes and think about your life until today. Think that I am the daughter of a Muslim. I am a ummati of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, what have I done until today and which way am I heading? Just think on your own. This bayan is not to point fingers at anybody. This talk, a piece of advice, is not to criticize people. It's look at yourself. Don't look at other people. Look at yourself. And sit today, tonight before going to sleep and think to yourself, that how have I spent my life until today? And how can I change my lifestyle? And make dua and stand up and read two rakat tahajjud namaz before going to bed. And make sincere tawbah, a proper tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, from today I'm going to change my lifestyle. And I'm going to be a really, really decent Muslim. And I'm going to be a really decent Muslim girl. And I'm going to wear really nice loose clothing. And I'm going to cover my hair for the rest of my life. I'm going to wear a scarf to please my Allah. So on the day of Qiyamah, when I see my Rasul will be happy with me. Then my Rasul will take me by the hand. And my Rasul will take me into Jannah. And he, you know, it'll be a moment to be proud about. And my respected youngsters, my respected friends, my dear, dear friends, for Allah's sake, you know, forget the music. Try to give up this, you know, bouncing in your cars and listening to music, thinking that you're a bad guy, that you're a gangster, and you're cool. But it doesn't make you cool at all. These drugs, these fags, these music, these silver... And another trend in the youngsters today is that, you know, a lot of the youngsters wear silver chains. Now, just because it's silver, it doesn't make it permissible. A lot of youngsters, and even many elders, they wear silver chains, and they wore them like B.A. Baracus or something. And it doesn't work like that. You can't be Mr. T. So, what I'm saying to you guys is, take off your chains. Okay, take up your chains, mashallah. And if you want to wear a ring, by all means, wear a silver ring. Okay, fine with that. And you know, change your lifestyle and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you can't stop listening to music, if you listen to music 10 times a day, cut it down to 9 times a day. Then after one month, cut it down to 8 times a day. Then inshallah, over 2 months, 3 months, inshallah, music will be gone and Allah will give tawfiq to listen to nasheeds and inshallah to Holy Quran, inshallah ta'ala. Also, if you've hurt your parents' feelings, if you've really criticized your mom, if you said bad things to your mom, you've sworn at your mom, respect your Jesus, please, for Allah's sake. Listen, if you listen to music, it's guna. If you've got boyfriend, girlfriend, it's guna. It's a massive guna. But if you've hurt your parents' feelings, then you're a dead man. Then you're a dead person. It's bottom line, is you're dead. Because if you hurt your parents, you're in big, big trouble. And like I said earlier, what goes around comes around. And last of all, what I want to say to my respected brothers and sisters out there is, remember one thing, we ulamas out here, and there's many alimas in Leicester as well. There's many young alims in Leicester. There's many young alimas in Leicester. What I will say to you, we are not your enemies. Don't think, oh, you're Molly Saab, so we're not approachable. For Allah's sake, we're your friends as well. Right? Just because we do a bayan like this, we're trying to help you to put you on the right track. We're all in need. Just because I'm a Molly Saab, just because my name is Mona Khalil and I come on radio 3 to 5 every day, doesn't make me special indeed. End of the day, I'm going to go in my grave. If my Allah is happy with me, just because I become a bit famous, people say, oh, this Mona Khalil, that doesn't guarantee me Jannah. I know myself, I am the most sinful of them all. And I'm going to have to go in my grave. And I have to make sure when I go from here, that Allah, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with me. So I'm requesting to my respected youngsters today, is for Allah's sake, don't think as ulama, young ulama, whoever you feel comfortable with. Ideally, if you can contact your local imams. Whenever you have a problem with drugs, with girls, with mobiles, whatever, please contact your local imams. There's so many young alims in Leicester. My respected sisters, if you've got a problem, contact. There's so many alimas in Leicester. So loads. You know, Leicester, you know, is blessed with alims and alimas. Honestly, we are blessed with alims and alimas. You know, go to them, talk to them about your problems. Don't bottle it all in. And last of all, those brothers who have voices and boyfriends and girlfriends, girls, honestly, do not degrade yourself. Don't make yourself so cheap that any boy comes along and just uses you and dumps you after 1 month or 2 months. You're not there to be used. You're not there to be dumped. Save yourself. You're special. And then save yourself until marriage. That's what you're there for, not to sell yourself. You know, you think, oh, this boy loves me so much. He doesn't love you so much. All he wants to do is he wants to use you. That's what boys do. They'll use you and they'll dump you. Simple story. And I said this earlier. They'll use you, they'll dump you, and then make you cry afterwards. So my respected sister, you know, and my respected brothers, if you love a girl so much, honestly, and I'm coming to the point, and I will come to this marriage later on, inshallah, on another day. But if you love a girl so much, then go to her house and say to her parents, look, I love this girl and I want to get married to her. If he's honest in his love, then he'll get married to her. If he's just there to use her, then he won't marry her at all. So my request to those who have boyfriends and girlfriends is, for Allah's sake, give it up. And if you love her too much and you don't want to give her up, then make a proposal and try to sort yourself and get married ASAP. And like I said earlier, turn towards your ulama. We're not your enemies. We are your friends. We want to be together. We want to help you so you can live a really, really good life, inshallah ta'ala. I've more or less covered a lot of my points, although I have missed out quite a few things as well. But I hope, inshallah, whatever I've said, it will be good enough, inshallah ta'ala. And will help you through your life, inshallah ta'ala. And I have dragged it slightly until almost, it's nearly 10 past 12. Mind you, I did start a little bit late. It's been an hour, I think, more or less. But Allah ta'ala give me the tawfiq. I hope if I've said anything to offend anybody, any boys or any girls, any youngsters out there, then I ask you to forgive me. But my purpose was not to offend anybody, but my purpose was there too, so that I can help you out. And just remember one thing, last thing, is to my respected youngsters, remember who you are. You are the ummati of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we've got to face him on the day of Qiyamah. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, with what face will you see him and face him? That's something we need to think about. Allah.